You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Private prisons are often touted as a good source of jobs and economic prosperity for communities. But how do those jobs compare to the ones in government-run facilities? As part of our series, Private Prisons, Locking in the Facts, and with the support of the Pulitzer Center, the Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick took a look and found there's no clear answer.
Let's get this out of the way. Finding employees in private prisons to talk about their job wasn't exactly easy, so I had to expand my search a bit.
There's very clearly a transparency issue in private prisons.
That's Ashley Dixon. She worked as a correctional officer for 7 months in 2017 at the Trousdale Turner Correctional Facility. That's a private prison about an hour outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
It was one of the hardest experiences of my life, the most difficult periods of my life, and I still feel like I'm recovering from it in a lot of ways.
Since she left, she's been outspoken against the facility and the company running it, CoreCivic. That's actually how I found her. She was testifying at a meeting of the Tennessee General Assembly.
It is an unhealthy and unsafe environment for everyone, both.
One of the big issues, she says, was chronic understaffing. Fewer people meant longer shifts that regularly went up to 16 or 20 hours. And she says that led to people falling asleep on their drive home or when making hospital runs for sick inmates.
There was also a problem with people falling asleep on their shift in the prison, at the hospital, with their gun at their side.
CoreCivic is one of two major private prison operators in the country with multiple facilities across the Mountain West.
We believe in advancing everyone.
CoreCivic declined an interview, but in a statement, a spokesperson said an internal investigation did confirm staff shortages at the Tennessee facility. The company says since then, it's raised its starting wages to the highest level in the state. Federal data seems to support a problem with staff levels in private facilities. The Bureau of Justice statistics found that public prisons had 5 inmates per officer, compared to 7 inmates per officer at private prisons. But those stats are from 2005 and haven't been updated since. Current pay differences, however, are a little easier to track. On average, officers in public facilities make nearly $6,000 more a year. Still,
prisons, in terms of their pay and their benefits, are not all that bad compared to the outside world.
That's Dr. Karen Gedney. She worked as a public prison physician for 30 years. She says while officers tend to make less in the private sector, prisons overall still offer people with just a high school diploma a job with good wages and benefits. Nationwide, they can make somewhere between $31,000 all the way up to $76,000, depending on location and experience. Gedney says there's also opportunity for growth.
You can slowly climb up the ranks. And I have seen individuals who were custody officers who ultimately became wardens.
Still, she acknowledges working in a public or a private prison can be challenging, especially when it comes to safety. Early in her career, she says an inmate held her hostage.
And then he assaulted and raped me out of frustration and anger of all the things he would never have in life.
While Gedney's assault happened in the medical center at a publicly run prison in Nevada, a 2016 report from the Office of the Inspector General showed the rate of assaults against prison staff was about 3 times higher in private prisons. But Lauren Brooke Eisen says overall, it's really hard to make comparisons. She's the director of the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law.
There's so much that happens behind the prison gates that we just don't know about.
Eisen says there are also too many variables to consider. Is it a men's or women's prison? What state or local laws are there? What security level are the inmates and how many are there? But she does say there is one big difference that can affect work conditions. Private prison employees are often not unionized.
Because it's cheaper to hire individuals who don't necessarily need pensions. It's actually easier to fire people who are not unionized.
Ultimately, Eisen says there is one common thread in both public and private prisons. Both are driving mass incarceration across the country.
Those are both special interest groups that do have a reason to ensure that prisons are full.
She believes the ultimate solution to this public versus private debate is to reduce prisons overall and invest more in rehabilitation programs. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
And continuing our deep dive into the Mountain West prison system, we are looking at how these large corporations are moving into a new sector, rehab, and reentry services. Things like mental health counseling, drug treatment, electronic monitoring, even halfway houses. With support from the Pulitzer Center, our Mountain West News Bureau's Ellie Budner reports, this shift is at the crux of a recent conflict in Colorado.
Candy Sidabaca was elected to Denver's city council just last year.
A self-described democratic socialist who's already taking unprecedented action.
Sidabaca says one issue caught her attention right away. It was the fact that two private companies were running most of the city's community corrections facilities, also known as halfway houses, and it hit her personally.
My brother is actually in prison and has been through the community correction system. I live across the street from a halfway house that's been there my entire life. My district is the most saturated district with halfway houses.
The two companies were industry giants Geo Group and Core Civic, and Sidabaca was skeptical about their motives for helping people like her brother.
If they're in private prisons, you're making money. You're making profit while they're in community corrections. You're making profit while they're on your ankle monitors. You're making profit while they're taking your drug tests.
So she got public comments on the issue. Then she brought it to a vote at city council, which decided to cut ties with both companies.
The decision to jump out of a plane without a parachute, I think, is what I've had the most concern with.
That's Greg Morrow. He oversees halfway house contracts for the city and county of Denver. So it fell into his lap to deal with the aftermath. He says the decision affected about 500 residents.
That was the biggest shock, is what do we do with the people that are in placement and their families and the uncertainty around that.
While the city scrambled for a plan, it temporarily extended the contracts. Geo's is now finished. Core Civic's will last at least another year. Morrow says what people don't realize is that Denver's halfway houses have been privately run since the 1970s, but by smaller companies. It wasn't until a few years ago that Geo and Core Civic took over the majority of the contracts. There was a reason for that.
What you'll see is maybe an entity that's more nimble and flexible and can adjust faster and is arguably and I think proven to be cheaper. With the public sector, things will get more expensive.
But he says the switch to Geo and Core Civic did raise questions about performance and incentives, even in his department.
No one, including myself, is not saying that there's a tremendous opportunity to improve outcomes.
Mostly, he says he was concerned about high staff turnover with the big companies. And he says the debate over public versus private is a legitimate one.
You deal with pros and cons either way.
With Core Civic's contract temporarily extended through June of 2021, I decided to go see one of its halfway houses for myself.
So this is our Fox facility.
Shannon Karst is managing director for all of the company's halfway houses in Colorado. She shows me around the Fox Reentry Center. It's a two-story concrete building in an industrial neighborhood near a major highway overpass in the heart of the city.
So we'll be walking down the hallway here and seeing some of the group rooms and the therapist rooms, and they'll be in group right now. So.
It houses about 90 male residents.
Good. That's a new resident. He's happy to be here.
Karst has been working for the private sector in Denver's halfway houses for more than two decades. I ask her how she responds to criticism from people like Councilwoman Candy Sidabaca.
I think it's insulting to the staff here that have dedicated their lives to this.
So I ask her what she wants people to know. She tells me about holiday cards and notes from former residents thanking them for their services. But like her answers to most policy questions, ultimately she says this.
Yeah, I'd have to refer you back to public affairs.
And that public affairs response was that the company has, quote, made significant commitments to address the recidivism crisis in America. Either way, Denver is committed to ending its relationship with Core Civic. Who will fill the gap and how much that will cost remains to be seen. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Ellie Budner.
This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.